Okay, Romans 8 is on page 1134 in the Church Bibles. I'll pray. Lord, we bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our guide, and the great glory of our Lord Jesus our supreme desire. Teach us, rebuke us, correct us, and train us in all righteousness as we read your word together now. In Jesus' name, amen. Somehow, you've ended up in an extreme challenge. It's a cross between Hunger Games and I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. It's that bad. You're on a long trek, and you know it's going to last for ages, days, weeks, months even. At least, definitely for today. You're not at the end yet. You've got to survive. You have an earpiece in your ear and a microphone connected to it. And through this, you communicate with someone who knows everything that's going on and is able to help you in every situation. Which way to travel, how to complete each challenge that faces you, when to run, when to walk, and when to rest. They're always right. It's brilliant. Today, a choice faces you. A fork in the road. This way, you've got a steep, narrow path that looks tricky and goes up into the mist ahead. And the other way is this flat, level path, wider path, leading into a forest, lush, green forest, but it's a bit foggy in the forest. Can't quite see where it goes. The voice says, take the steep path. But you're feeling tired. It's been many days of this. Take the tricky route. I'll help you through, says the earpiece. Oh, the foggy forest looks so restful and peaceful. And this time, the wide road wins, and off you go into the foggy forest. There's a crash, a bang, a pain, and the next thing you know, you're back at the fork in the road, waking up and your leg is in bandage. There were traps and fire pits hidden in the foggy forest. Your leg is bandaged and it hurts, but you struggle and you can't get up and walk. Why did you ignore the message? Why did you think you knew better? And will the voice still be there? After all, it's not the first time you've ignored it and gone the wrong way. Hello, you say? Welcome back, says the voice. I'm still with you. Come on, let's keep going. Take the steep path and I'll help you through it. No condemnation. No condemnation, brothers and sisters. The Christian life is like an extreme challenge. If we're trusting in Jesus, as we go through this life of many different choices and difficulties, Jesus never leaves us. God never leaves us. He's there every day. And every day, he says, chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. But what is it? How does it come about? And who is it for? First of all, what is it? No condemnation. Simple as this. God will not condemn people who trust in Jesus. It's completely off the table. Not guilty. Remember that phrase from earlier in Romans? Justified, not guilty, is what God will say. Right in God's eyes. That is what people will be who trust in Jesus. There's no condemnation. Now, I can't recap all of chapters 1 to 7. We've seen a lot so far, haven't we? But three important points let me just quickly make to help us understand no condemnations. So, first of all, all deserve condemnation. That's where we were in chapters 1, 2 and 3. All sin, all people, we all refuse to put God number one in our lives. And that leads to God's just judgment and condemnation of us. So, for example, 1:18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. We all sin and are subject to judgment and condemnation. First important point from the first seven chapters, all deserve condemnation. Second, the free gift of rescue in Jesus. That's what we discovered in chapters 3, 4, and 5, isn't it? That Jesus dies on the cross, and through his death on the cross and resurrection, anyone who trusts in him can receive complete forgiveness. They can receive this by faith. So chapter 3, verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known. Verse 22, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believed. Verse 24, they're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It says the free gift of rescue in Jesus. All deserve condemnation, free gift of rescue in Jesus. And a third little point to remember is that Christians, people who trust in Jesus, still fight with sin in this life. So that's chapter 6 and 7. Yes, we are saved from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin. But the presence of sin will still be there until Jesus returns or we go to meet him through death. So it's still a fight in our lives. And at the end of chapter 7, we read this, chapter 7, verse 25. So then, Paul, speaking as a Christian, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. There's a battle going on. So with that in mind, Paul then says, therefore, given everything he said so far, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Chapter 8, verse 1. And we're just going to look at the first four verses of this chapter, chapter 8. And in these four verses, three ways he speaks about no condemnation. First of all, just by saying no condemnation, that not guilty is the verdict. We're free from God's judgment and released from it, verse 1. He also says we're free from the law of sin and death, verse 2, halfway through. Now the law, meaning here, he's using the word law in a slightly different way, meaning the principle or the order of sin and death. And the idea there is what we've seen in the chapter so far, that sin is inescapable, and because of that, God's judgment on sin is inescapable, death is inescapable. And death is both spiritual and physical. Death happens to bodies, but also happens to our spirits. And it's Jesus who can bring life. So a person without Jesus has got a living body, but they're dead to God. Sin is inescapable, death is inescapable, and ultimately we will die and be judged by God and have spiritual and physical death, cut off from him forever in hell. But we've escaped. What was inescapable is now, we've now had escape from. Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So no condemnation, free from the law of sin and death. And then the other way he talks about no condemnation is in verse 4, at the end of that. Those of us who do not live, sorry, before that, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. So no condemnation is the same as the righteous requirement of the law being fully met in us. So in other words, what God does is he makes us fully right in his sight, but not by completing the law, because we found we can't do that. We'd struggle. We'd never be perfect. The law just says, no, you failed. Instead, by God giving us his righteousness through Jesus, as we'll see in a moment, so that God can look at us and see us as right. And he sees us as if we've completely fulfilled the law because of Jesus. So back in chapter 3, verse 22, he said, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So no condemnation. Free from the law of sin and death. The righteous requirements of the law fully met in us. Right in God's eyes. Not guilty. This is wonderful. This is a wonderful moment summing up what we've seen in many ways so far in the book of Romans. So for the 21st century believer, someone who's trusting in Jesus, what does this mean? Well, every day, first thing, you can say to yourself, am I condemned? And you can answer, I am not. Every day. Doesn't matter what you did the day before or the week before. Every day in the morning. Am I condemned? I am not. Every day in the evening before you go to bed, you can ask yourself, am I condemned? And you can say, I am not. Doesn't matter what the day has been like. It's like in the extreme challenge. It's like going, you've gone the wrong way, your legs burnt, you're standing up. Hello? I'm still here, says the voice. You're not condemned. You're not condemned. Every day. You shouted at your mum. Am I condemned? I'm not. You took the praise for something a colleague did. Are you condemned? You're not. You looked three times at that guy walking past. Are you condemned? No. You doubted God's love. Are you condemned? You're not condemned. You agreed with your friends when they were mocking a Christian on YouTube. Are you condemned? No. I am not. These are all things that you shouldn't have done. Take them to God. Repent. Trust in Jesus. Pray. Ask for his forgiveness. Ask for his help. And read chapter 8, verse 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's an indication of God's love for you. We often say God loves you. But here's what it means. That every day you can say, when you get up in the morning alongside am I condemned, you can say, does God love me? And the answer is yes, he does. He says there's no condemnation for you because of Jesus. This is how much he loves you. And in the evening, before you go to bed, does God love me? Does God really love me? And he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yeah, God really loves me. No condemnation. This is what it is. So how does it come about? Paul explains. It's through Jesus' sacrifice. This happens, no condemnation, because Jesus died as a sacrifice on the cross. A sacrifice for sin, for your sin, and my sin. He took your place. He took my place. We use the word substitute. He was a substitute. My sin needed condemning. My death was required justly by God. I didn't want to face that death. Jesus stood in my place. And took my death on the cross for me. My condemnation. My judgment. It's like in football. You know, a substitute in football is a player who brought on during a match to take the place of an existing player. And why? Well, maybe that player's a striker and they went to kick the ball but went tripped awkwardly and they've really hurt their ankle. They can hardly move. They can't score goals. So off they go and on comes someone who's fully fit who can score goals in their place. It's a substitute. And Jesus is our substitute on the cross. We don't want to have to die for our sins because that means hell, eternal separation from God. And Jesus takes our place. He's a substitute. Look at verse 3. So we've been set free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. He's talking about the cross. What the law was powerless to do, verse 3. The law is powerless to make you right with God. The law tells you what God wants, but the law can't help you do it. We found that out throughout chapters 1 to 7. Sin stops it. The law is weakened by the flesh, our sinful nature. You remember Paul saying, when I heard the commandment, do not covet, suddenly all kinds of covetous ideas come up inside me. So the law was powerless. But what the law was powerless to, God did. God has made it possible for you and me to be right with him, completely right in his eyes. He did it by sending his own son, Jesus, in the likeness of sinful flesh. It's a wonderful phrase. In the likeness of sinful flesh. He wasn't totally sinful. Jesus came as a human being, as a complete human being, like us, but not sinning. He obeyed his parents, he obeyed his heavenly Father. He loved his neighbour completely. Unlike us, Jesus never coveted. He never committed adultery, all these things. So he was in the flesh, human nature, but not sinful nature, but he came in the likeness of sinful nature to be a sin offering. He came and took on himself, our sin, as a sin offering on the cross. And so sin was condemned in the flesh, in Jesus' flesh, his body, a human body. We're told that when Jesus died on the cross, the sky went dark for 3 hours. It's in the Gospels. And a famous hymn writer, Isaac Watts, wrote this. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin. Of course it's going to go dark. Jesus, the one through whom the universe was created, is become sin for us, bearing God's condemnation in your place, substitute. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. So Jesus dying in our place means that we can have Jesus' righteousness as a gift and be right in God's eyes. So there's no condemnation through Jesus' sacrifice. And for us today, this means, if we're trusting in Jesus or want to come to trust in Jesus, it means a massive shift in our thinking. Because we are programmed today to think that you can do anything if you put your mind to it. Yeah, you hear that all over the place, don't you? Put your mind to it, you can do anything. And okay, it's twaddle, isn't it? Because I can't win a Formula One race no matter how much I put my mind to it. But anyway, in this case, it's particular rubbish, totally rubbish, because we found we can't put ourselves right with God. But here's the thing, if you let Jesus do it all for you, a complete change of thinking, you can't do anything, but Jesus can do it all, then it's possible. Our relationship with God is entirely down to Jesus on the cross. When it begins, a week later, a month later, 30 years later, it's still only because of Jesus that we're right with God. Total change in thinking. So it's utterly humbling and utterly brilliant. It's utterly humbling. Maybe you've been a Christian for 30 years. You're standing before God. It's not because you do the flowers in church, not because you help with a charity, not because you help that old lady across the road in Jesus' name. You're standing with Jesus. It's because he died on the cross for you. Have you grown in your Christian maturity recently? Maybe you've been praying more. Maybe you've read the Bible more. That's fantastic. Your righteousness, solely down to Jesus. Nothing to do with that. It's Jesus' death on the cross. It's utterly humbling and wonderful. It's utterly brilliant because it means you're totally secure, totally loved. No matter how much you get it wrong, you can get up, he's still there. He's still there. He's still there. Every morning, am I condemned? No, I'm not condemned. Every evening, am I condemned? No! You're not condemned. Am I loved? You're loved. Utterly brilliant. Through Jesus' sacrifice alone. No condemnation. Through Jesus' sacrifice. Oops. And who is it for? It's for those in Christ by faith through the Spirit. Now, these three things are saying the same thing. In Christ by faith through the Spirit. And that is that when we put our faith in Jesus, in other words, we're depending on him, for this relationship with God, we become people who are in Christ, and God the Holy Spirit lives with us. And this is a way of life. It's not just an idea in your mind or something that happens on a particular day. It's a way of life. So it's here in this passage, chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So we saw in chapter 3 that we receive this rescue by faith, not by works, but just by God's grace. In chapter 7 we saw that we serve by the new way of the Spirit. And that means that when we put our trust in Jesus, God the Spirit comes to live in our lives. He's invisible. He's promised by Jesus. And he's there whether we feel him or not. And by the Holy Spirit's help, God's word comes to life. It becomes like that voice. Not an audible voice, but the word in our minds transforming us through the Spirit's work. There's no expectation that you'll hear an actual voice in your head, and if you do, it might be time to go to the doctor perhaps. But God's word comes alive by the Spirit, and he helps us to live, to walk with the Spirit. And so, chapter 8 verse 4, all of this is in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh or walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let's nick a verse from next week. Those, verse 5, who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So following Jesus is an ongoing faith in our lives, where every day we're saying, God, what do you want? Let me read your word and find out. And maybe what you read that day isn't the most applicable thing. Maybe it was something you learned 3 years ago. But we want what God wants. Our desires are set on his desires. What's God's desire? That would be my desire. We are living according to the Spirit. So maybe your Christian life has taken something of a backseat recently. And you want to change? Well, no condemnation. You can come straight back to God. Forgiveness is there. Pray. Sorry, Lord, that I've been ignoring you. Thank you for your love and forgiveness in Jesus. Please help me and help me to live for you more. Maybe you've fallen for that sin again, the one you've been fighting so well. You thought you'd mastered it, but no. No condemnation. No condemnation. Come back to God in repentance and faith as always. Pray and ask for his help. Use the scriptures. Psalm 51 is a great psalm to pray for through when we want to confess sins to God. And no condemnation ringing in our ears. Perhaps you're someone who's not yet trusting in Jesus and you're listening in on YouTube, or you've come today to find out more. Well, you are stuck in chapter 1 of Romans, where God's wrath is made known. Condemnation is what God has in store for you, but God loves you and calls you to himself. He calls you saying, come to Jesus where there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Come to me, says God. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Think of our extreme challenge again. You walk into the foggy forest, bang, crash, ow, and next thing you know, you wake up back there at the fork in the road with your leg in bandage and pain. You stand up. Are they going to be there? You've done this so many times before. Maybe they're just going to leave you this time. Hello? Welcome back. Let's press on. Come on. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your great love for us in Jesus. Thank you that in the majesty of your thinking and power and love, you've determined that all of our sin could be taken by him as he died on the cross. Now, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, until he returns. So that every day there is no condemnation. Every day there is just your love. Every day we're humbled because it's not through what we've done, but it's what you've done. Every day is brilliant because we're completely secure in you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.